Hi, and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing great today. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope life is going well. And you know what I hope you're really not doing? I hope you're not complaining. Most of us complain. I complain. Most of us complain. I get together with a lot of women friends and complain, but I've heard that it's not really good for us, that, you know, that we're kind of pushing the good stuff away. And in a spiritual way, we all hear that and we all listen to that. I'm not sure it stops us, but my guest today is going to give us some really, really good reasons to not complain, because I think what he is writing about, I know what he is writing about in his new book, Three Simple Steps, A Map to Success in Business and Life, is about that it's more than just spiritually taking away our good stuff. It really does take away our good stuff in a more scientific way, and what we can do about it and why it is so bad for our life. And I want to welcome Trevor Blake to Shannon's Corner. Hi, Trevor. How are you today?
Hi, Shannon. I'm fine, thanks. And thanks for inviting me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us today. As I just said, you know, most of us complain. It is something that we do. I have a tendency to think that women probably complain more than men do, although I'm not sure about that. But it is something that I think many people think that reunites us somehow, or somehow bonds us together. And, you know, we can just get all this stuff off our chest and just let go and tell everybody all what's wrong with ourselves and what's wrong with business and what's wrong with where we work. But you have really researched this out and spent a lot of time, and you, I must say to the audience, are a serial entrepreneur, which means you have made a lot of money being an entrepreneur in your own businesses. So you understand business. You also now understand writing and success in that, because your book is on the New York Times bestseller list, number 5. So you certainly are successful, but have you never complained?
Well, we all complain all the time. I mean, if you were to be with me when I'm watching my favorite sport, which is soccer, or playing soccer, you'd think I'd never even written Three Simple Steps, let alone I'd never even read it, let alone written it. I mean,
Right. We
all do it all the time, and it's mostly harmless. Mm-hmm. But there are certain situations where it becomes very harmful, and in the workplace and the home environment, it can be particularly so. So the latest neuroscience data shows that the brain works more like a muscle than we ever realized. And so the more it's exposed to repeated behavior, the more the neurons hook onto that. It sort of hardwires into it. And you said at the start there that, you know, you find women like to complain. I personally think men are just as bad, but that it bonds together. And it's absolutely true. And the reason it bonds together is because of this hardwiring action of the brain, this sort of muscle-like behavior. So the more that you expose the brain to negativity, like complaining, the more likely you are to become a complainer yourself. And it's true, nothing bonds people more closely or more quickly than a common dislike. Everyone gravitates towards that. But now that we know that the brain is doing it with or without our help, it helps us be aware of the impact of that. The second half of the story is that data coming out of Stanford shows that if you expose the brain to 30 minutes of this sort of stuff every day, whether it be from people around you who are always moaning, or whether it be from sensational headlines on the media, uh-huh, it causes physical damage. It actually causes brain cell death because of the extra cortisol produced, and it peels back the very neurons you need to problem solve and adapt to changing circumstances at home or in the workplace. So now we know it's physically damaging, as well as the fact that it just feels energy draining.
It does feel energy draining, and it's interesting to hear that it's scientific, because if you open up the news, I mean, I live outside of New York City now, and when I lived in New York City, I was seldom in the car, but once I started driving on a regular basis, I noticed that I was constantly being bombarded by negative ads. You're going to get this disease. You're going to die of this brain tumor. You're going to not have enough insurance. Oh my God, do you have enough money? You know, and finally I just kind of turned it off one day and said, I can't do that, because I felt constantly negative. And I didn't realize it was very subtle, you know, these kind of subtle messages all around us. And you're saying it's a little more than just personally draining. It actually physically can drain you. Why does it affect the workplace so much? I mean, obviously that would make sense, but why would that not be just a bonding thing? Why would it bring us down there?
Because for the same reasons as you find yourself tuning into the radio, the more you hear that stuff, the more your brain hardwires to it. The negativity causes a reaction in our body which is equivalent to fear, and fear paralyzes. And that's not what you want when you're in an environment where the art is to survive long enough to hit a home run. I mean, I've had several businesses of my own, as you mentioned, mm-hmm, and every day it's constantly changing. I mean, I was lucky enough to work with some good mentors in my life, and they always said to me, you know, two things. One is that the secret to success in business is to survive long enough to hit a home run, and they're absolutely right, because there will always be a good day in your business or in your industry, but you have to survive long enough to get there. And the other thing is that you don't know what business you're in till you get in the business. And what they were telling me was that it's never as you predict. Every day something changes. There's a crisis everywhere you go. Well, if your brain is fixed and paralyzed by the fear of all this complaining and all of the negativity around you, you can't adapt to those circumstances, and you'll be part of one of the statistics that says you're going out of business, unfortunately. And so it's a very real threat to your survival.
So it sounds like to me when I hear you talk that if you're positive and you have a really crisis-ridden day, that you positively go at it like, okay, well, let's see what's wrong and let's go fix it, as opposed to, oh my God, I got to hide. There's something really wrong here. Oh my God, it's always me. There's always something wrong. You know, this sort of thing. Why does it always happen to me? And we just build our hole a little deeper, right? Is it just that sort of thing in our own mind that just constantly builds us down? And if we do it around other people, especially if you're the owner of the business, obviously it's going to filter down. But is it hard for somebody to pull us out of that? And is it hard for ourselves to pull us out of that?
No, and that's why the title of the book is Three Simple Steps, because all of the things you need to do are really simple to change that complete outcome. And one of the key things to understand is that if you feel yourself locked in that fear or locked in that negativity, you have to break that connection. The neurons are looking for, your brain's looking for a connection, so you have to break that connection. So it can be as simple as excusing yourself and going to the bathroom for 5 minutes, or go and take some fresh air for 5 minutes. You break that connection, you come back, you're a completely different person. It's a little more than, you see, you know, Three Simple Steps is categorized as a self-help book, but I'm actually not a big fan of the self-help movement, because they talk about this positive thinking, which I think is an illusion, because our thoughts are instantaneous. So we see something on TV, or we hear somebody say something unkind about us in the workplace or the schoolyard or home or whatever it may be. Our thought is absolutely instantaneous, it's negative, and it's paralyzing, and you can't stop that. But what you can control is how you then react to it. So once you're aware that you've heard something, you've reacted that way, then you must think of a better reaction. And that's really the secret to getting out of that paralysis. And so, for instance, if you go into work and you're feeling fantastic and the first person you meet says, oh, you look tired. You know, if you don't respond to that, half an hour later, you're going to say to yourself, oh, I do feel tired today.
Right.
Because your brain has hooked into that. So you can choose a different reaction. Your immediate thought is to picture yourself looking tired, the bags under your eyes, gray skin, and all the rest of it. But your reaction could be, you know what? I could use more energy today. And just taking that simple change makes a huge difference. And when we cover this in Three Simple Steps, in step one in particular, because it's so important. If you want to take control of your life, it's so important to not become a slave to other people's opinions and fashions and criticisms. You've got to become an individual again. And that's why we talk about this.
Right. Well, you know, that is something that self-help books often talk about. Wayne Dyer, who I've read that you liked and I adore and I've listened to over the years, has often said that, pay no attention to anyone else. And that, of course, is easier said than done. As you mentioned, if you have children, you know, it all stems early in the schoolyard. I mean, we are very conscious of those who don't like us, and it takes a lot of working, a lot of conditioning to push that off of us. Do you think that there is a benefit in society? I mean, maybe even a financial benefit to the media and to different things, constantly, preying on our fear and working on this negativity. I mean, in journalism, it says if it bleeds, it leads, meaning that, you know, the worst it is, yay, that's a great day. We got some real bloody things to throw out there. I mean, it's true. I mean, this is exactly what they teach you. So, you know, it's like, wow, get that adrenaline going. You know, we had a crisis today. So, I mean, we get very revved up for this stuff, you know, and we are so plugged in now that anything that bad happens, everybody's standing around. So, like, you know, so do you think that there's some follow the dollar sort of thing here in our society?
Well, yeah, and I think it's just a natural way to the part of the society we live in. I mean, who can turn their eyes away from a forest fire on TV or a car crash or a car chase? I mean, it's very, very hard. But if you're aware of the fact that this is paralyzing you, and because self-awareness is really the first key thing to get, that this stuff is damaging my brain and I need to do something about it. It's turning my brain to mush. And so being aware is really important, because then if you're aware, you might tear your eyes away a little bit, or you might not take it quite so seriously, or take it on board even. And this separation important thing is that it's something that I learned when I was a teenager, because I found myself in a part of the country where my accent was identified as foreign, and I grew up poor, so my shabby clothes and the fact that I had two odd color shoes on my feet, you know, made me a target for bullies. And so the one place I knew my tormentors couldn't go or wouldn't go was the public library. So I used to actually separate myself from all of that negativity without realizing I was doing something good for myself by hiding out in the library. And that's where I read all these great autobiographies of self-made men and women who also found themselves in these terribly negative and difficult environments. And it was their inspiring stories that led me onto the three steps. I identified the fact that they did not behave the way their society expected them to. They separated themselves from that negativity and they took control of their individual power, if you like, their pioneering spirit. And I ended up doing the same thing, and my life changed completely as a result. And so, you know, if you're in the schoolyard and you're allowing everybody else's negativity to affect how you think about yourself, you know, get out of that environment. And I went to the public library, but you may be able to find 5 minutes space by yourself if you're a kid, where you don't have to, your brain will no longer be locking into that, and you won't become that behavior. And it's the same with TV. The thing is to be selective.
Yeah. So what you're...
You can watch TV, but be selective, you know.
So what you're saying is there's a way out of this, and actually there's a benefit by leaving it to gain other things, and we're going to learn about that. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, well, you know, now that we understand that negativity is really bad for us in so many ways, and certainly in a business world, we're going to hear from Trevor Blake how we can change our thinking and how we can kind of step aside from that, as he's just been telling us, and how we can move on and actually gain the gifts there that are in this for us. We are going to take a break, as I said, and we'll be back here on WTBQ in just a few with Trevor Blake in his new book, Three Simple Steps.